Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
So when you hear parents say, you know, religion is something that's going to be an obstacle for my child's success, I think it's quite the opposite. And I think there's quite a bit of data to show that.
A child is a dangerous thing to bring into your life because it disrupts your life. And on some level, we have to learn that there are risks worth taking.
Churches that buy into these enthusiastic doctrines, they are like cut flowers. They will maintain the color that they had originally, but over and again, you're going to see that sound doctrine is going to die.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
The Christians need to be aware of this when they're having conversations that are, well, they're between two Christians. There are a lot of common assumptions there that are unstated. That's not a bad thing. They just have an agreement in their worldview. They have an agreement in their doctrine. Those kind of things can lead to kind of shorthand in the way we talk about things. But someone from the outside of Christianity listens in, they're going to have a very difficult time understanding what's being said and a very high probability of misunderstanding what's being said. Now, that applies not only to matters theological, so to speak. It has to do with how Christians talk about the affairs of the world as well. So that's what's happened here, apparently, with Paige Patterson, who is a legend in the Southern Baptist Convention. Paige Patterson, once the president of the entire denomination, if you could call the Southern Baptist Convention a denomination, and president, I think, of several of its seminaries over his career, he had something to say in 2000, that's 18 years ago, about domestic abuse, divorce, marriage, and it's landed him in a lot of hot water, and it's got a lot of Southern Baptists responding to him as well. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about media coverage of domestic violence and the Southern Baptist. Terry Mattingly will be our guest for the first half hour. Lyman Stone joins us. He's author of a recent column, First Things, titled Two Kingdom Theology in the Trump Era. We'll talk Two Kingdom Theology and Vocation. He says vocation, at best, from its very beginnings, when it's recovered in the 16th century Reformation, has been half-taught. We'll find out what he means by that. Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, will join us to talk about a recent column in the New York Times on motherhood, calling it, what, the dumbest job ever? And then Dr. Uwe C. Minetto, native of Germany, will join us to talk about the displaying of a cross in all public buildings in Bavaria, Germany. The premier there, Marcus Sader, says that this is a symbol of the Bavarian identity and Christian values. Joining us to talk about media coverage of domestic violence in Southern Baptists, Terry Mattingly, a senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate in the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
The Washington Post headline, Southern Baptist leader pushes back after comments leak urging abused women to pray and avoid divorce. What is this story really all about?
Well, the most complicated thing about this is that it's not a story, it's stories. There are three completely valid stories going on here at the same time. One is the latest crisis among kind of an older generation of Southern Baptist leaders, of which Paige Patterson is one of the two most visible. At the same time, the other one, Judge Paul Pressler, is also under attack and has been, frankly, surrounded by rumors for decades concerning sexual abuse claims of young men connected to him long ago, back in the 70s, before he even became a Southern Baptist and became one of the two leaders with Paige Patterson of the great conservative slash fundamentalist Southern Baptist revolt of the late 70s and other 80s. So you have this Paige Patterson tape, which has been debated in the past. So I question the use of the word leak about the tape leaking, because the tape's been discussed on at least two other occasions before, so that was a strange word. The story is actually much better than the headline. So you have this whole thing with Paige Patterson. So on one level, you have a story about, to put it bluntly, people wanting Paige Patterson's head on a platter. And they're using this as a way to go after him. And I can get you Southern Baptist voices on both sides of that argument. Second, you have the issue of domestic violence itself and whether the Southern Baptist Convention as a body has ever spoken out with a unified voice of clarity on the subject of domestic violence. Now, Southern Baptists are not the only group of people in the world who have struggled with the issue of domestic violence. I mean, you have a lot of cultures in the world in which women are under intense pressure to hide domestic violence or to somehow assume that they are to blame for it. Now, attached to that is a third issue, which is a very complex theological issue related to divorce, and that is that there are multiple camps among Southern Baptists and evangelicals over precisely what the Bible says on the topic of divorce. This links to domestic violence because there are people, and Paige Patterson, at least in 2000, when this tape was done, appeared to be this, who thought the primary goal in a case of domestic violence, job one seemed to be avoiding divorce. And the links between domestic violence and divorce are complex and painful. So you have at least three stories going on here. And to some degree, the ability of the convention to speak clearly, or leaders within the convention to speak clearly about subjects number two and three, domestic violence and divorce, is being affected by Paige Patterson's unique stature at the head of this older generation. One other point I would make, Southern Baptist, individual Southern Baptist can speak. Individual Southern Baptist leaders can speak. But people need to understand that the Southern Baptist Convention, we throw that around all the time, the Southern Baptist Convention only exists as an institution every summer when it's in session. The convention can't speak on anything except during those few days when the convention is called together. Baptists would stress that they are not a denomination. They're not a permanent, existing, ongoing structure of a church all the time. They are a convention of free associations, independent congregations, etc. Now, you can use that as an excuse, but the simple fact of the matter is the SBC can't address this issue until it meets. And looming over all of this is who is supposed to be the keynote speaker at this summer's Southern Baptist Convention? Paige Patterson. Now, that's complex. I hope that was clear.
Okay, so let's kind of take this down a little bit, one part at a time. You mentioned Paige Patterson's unique status among a certain generation of Baptists. How would you describe that?
Well, he was one of the two men who organized the theologically conservative revolt against the Southern Baptist establishment in the late 70s and early 80s. There were two men that did it. Both of them are now under attack, one because of views he does or doesn't have on domestic violence, and the other being Judge Paul Pressler of Houston because of actual accusations in his past of sexual abuse.
Then let's talk about the way that the Washington Post covered this. What are the strengths of its journalism so far?
Okay, well, here's the simple fact, and this was the point of my post on this topic at Get Religion. I actually gave as much praise to the Washington Post piece as I could, But also, I've focused on the fact that it's almost impossible to do coverage of a complex, painful religious story when it has already been defined, especially like over a weekend, by just the fiercest level of Twitter discussion. And this brings us to a reality that you and I have discussed many times. After being bombed on Twitter for multiple days, Paige Patterson, a very old and very conservative Southern Baptist leader with a long history of not liking the mainstream press and preferring public relations, you know, to do his speaking for him, how likely do you think he is going to be that he's going to call the Washington Post back for a full interview?
Not likely.
In fact, he did send them an email that basically says, I have learned through the decades that sometimes it's better to just be silent. I've said all I have to say. Now, that puts it on the reporters then to have to go out, especially on weekends, have to go out and get clarifying statements from people. And I thought the Post did as good a job as you could have hoped to have done on short notice of gathering valid information from social media. And what we've seen in the last couple of days is some really remarkable statements from Southern Baptist leaders of very high stature, and I would also say extremely conservative leaders. And then on top of that, you had a statement when the Me Too Church Too controversy began, one of the most conservative organizations of which Baptists are active, the Council for Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, they released a statement, not because of the Paige Patterson thing. Months earlier, they released a statement when the Me Too thing broke out, which was really, really clear on the subject of domestic violence. Now, there we have story number two. Let me just read a little bit of this. And the Post had the crucial lines. We believe that biblical teaching on relationships between men and women does not support but condemns abuse. We believe that abuse is not only sin, but it is also a crime. It is destructive and evil. Abuse is the hallmark of the devil and is direct opposition to the purposes of God. Abuse must not be tolerated in the Christian community. Now, what's going on here is that I think at the church level, as pastoral counseling grew as a movement among evangelicals in recent decades, I think there has been a shocking lack of clarity among many religious leaders, and Southern Baptists are certainly not alone, on what should they do when a woman walks in and makes an allegation of domestic violence, or even more obvious, presents evidence of domestic violence. Is job one saving the marriage, or is job one, this is a crime? Report the crime, prevent further violence, get safety as your primary goal, and, quite frankly, seek justice. So what we're seeing from a lot of Southern Baptist leaders is very clear statements on story number two, which is, would you have a situation with domestic violence? This is a crime. It is a crime even before it's a sin in terms of how you have to respond. This is a situation where you get the improper information to the authorities. Now, I should draw parentheses there and say that frequently this situation is complicated by whether or not the woman wants it reported. And we can say that that's cultural, sociological, her mind has been shaped by bad theology, etc. All of that can be true in many cases, and in other cases it may not be true. Human beings are remarkably complex. But the essence of story number two, Paige Patterson's head on a platter, is story number one. The essence of story number two is, what do you do with domestic violence? And Southern Baptist leaders at all conceivable levels are speaking out very clearly, job one, this is a crime. cooperate with authorities. Now, are there old guard people who are kind of sitting back and mumbling, we're not so sure about that? Maybe that's the case. I think it's a very good chance that some sort of stuff might surface at the Southern Baptist Convention this summer. In fact, the odds are 1,000 to 1 that it will.
On this Thursday afternoon, we're talking with Terry Mattingly, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, about media coverage of domestic violence and Southern Baptists. Do we know what Paige Patterson thinks about the subject today? You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all 6 Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc. What does this mean? On our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382 and answer the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What we need to know about Islam is that it's the world's fastest growing religion and the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel.
Hank Canagraph of the Bible Answer Man talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The current narrative is that if you tell the truth in this regard, well, you'll radicalize Muslims. But that's pure propaganda. What we need to do is wake up to the truth concerning Islam.
You can meet and hear Hank Canagraph making the case against Islam at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of domestic violence and Southern Baptists. Terry, we were talking before the break about what is likely going to be said at the Southern Baptist Convention this coming summer. Do we know what Paige Patterson thinks today about the subject?
Well, we know what he said on tape in 2000. Other statements are surfacing. I asked a Southern Baptist historian the other day, do you know of anything that Patterson has said between 2000 and now that would radically change his views on this topic? And this historian said, no, quite frankly, I don't. Now, Paige Patterson would say, or at least what he said in 2000, is that story number 3 is the first story in his mind, which is the sin and prevention of divorce. And then when you get to divorce, you do have people in the Southern Baptist Convention. I mean, divorce is obviously right now the issue that's exploding like landmines all around Pope Francis right now in terms of discussions within the Roman Catholic Church. Is divorce ever allowed? Is when, you know, if you've had a divorce, what is the status under which a person then returns to the Eucharist? This is a complicated theological issue. And I've seen at least 3 different levels of Southern Baptist approaches to divorce. There are some that would say no divorce, no divorce ever. I mean, unless this is purely for the sake of safety. I've seen others that say, as with Scripture, you know, divorce after sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is the key to whether or not a divorce is valid. Then you get into other Scripture where you're debating about whether when someone has abandoned the marriage, is divorce possible? Very interesting writing right now that is arguing that domestic violence in and of itself is a physical, moral, and spiritual abandonment of a marriage.
Well, Russell Moore recently tweeted that very thing.
Yes. The point I'm trying to get to our listeners is on divorce, you have multiple camps. Now, how easy is it to discuss all three of these issues on Twitter?
Well, you can try.
Meanwhile, you have everything from passive aggression to outright firebombs to virtue signaling to just, in some cases, gosh, what a wonderful chance to beat up on the Southern Baptist Convention. And then within the Southern Baptist Convention, of course, you do have a liberal wing, a centrist wing, and various kinds of conservatism. So this is a complex situation. Twitter is not the place you want to go to get your information. The best thing that's going to happen at Twitter is you're going to get URLs to either valid coverage or you're going to get URLs to the various statements coming out from major Southern Baptist leaders. All of this, I'm sure, will lead to some sort of statement at the Southern Baptist Convention this summer. The issue then for those who are primary focus is Camp 1, Paige Patterson's head on a platter. At what point will convention leaders announce that his sermon has been canceled or something like that, some symbolic shaming of Paige Patterson? Three different stories. Twitter's not the best place to try to frame all this.
In your opinion, how likely is it that Paige Patterson's appearance there at their annual convention will in some way be either downplayed or canceled altogether?
As a former Southern Baptist and someone who grew up in an intensely Southern Baptist family, my father was a leader in the Baptist General Convention of Texas at one point. My family is very, very connected to the Southern Baptist structure. First, let me say personally, I hope he resigns from speaking. It would be a wonderful act on Paige Patterson's part if he said something like, it would be divisive and not constructive to debate on this crucial issue for me to speak this summer. I stand down. And then he has already said that the new statement on domestic violence by the Council for Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, he has already said, I identify with what they are stating theologically. I endorse what they're stating. In other words, he needs to take story one off the table. Will he do that? I don't know. People can be very proud, and the Southern Baptist Convention is the empire that, to some degree, he helped establish the current ruling party. Will he do that? I don't know. I personally hope that he does.
He has said that the tape in question from the year 2000 has been subjected to rigorous misrepresentation. If he's going to make a statement like that, does he kind of owe his fellow Baptists an explanation to how it's being misrepresented?
Yeah, that's kind of a Clintonian answer, isn't it there? There's a lot of Bill Clinton in that answer. And other politicians who could be named. But hey, Bill Clinton's a Southern Baptist, so that's a natural thing to mention. Yes, quite frankly, he owes them clarity. But ultimately, Paige Patterson's clarity on this issue doesn't matter as much as the Southern Baptist Convention's clarity. And I would say we're watching very quickly for the nation's largest Protestant flock. Very quickly, we're getting some remarkable statements with extreme clarity on the second issue of domestic violence. The third issue, the relationship between divorce and domestic violence, that's going to be harder to sort out. Pope Francis is struggling with things related to divorce theology and the catechism and other stuff. That's going to take some time, but here's what I think is going on. I think Baptists are trying to say safety and justice is job number one when you're dealing with domestic violence. But then they want to say, but we hold out hope as well for repentance and reconciliation, because the Bible is clear on the sanctity of marriage. And they want to find a way to say the second part without people thinking, well, then that means you don't really mean that you're opposed to domestic violence. I think what they're trying to say is, after domestic violence, lots of divorces happen. But also, after domestic violence, we all know cases of healing, reconciliation, and saved marriages. That complex two-part message is not going to make it in Twitter. And we're also, this dialogue is being shaped by the fact that some of the journalists and the institutions that are leading debate right now are not the institutions and personalities that Southern Baptists want to pick up the phone and call back and say, hey, yeah, let's talk. In my piece at Get Religion, I said Paige Patterson should have invited the Washington Post to his office and said, yes, let's do a long, detailed interview on this topic. You tape it, and I'll tape it, because this is an issue where we need as much precision as possible. When an interview is held under those settings, and both sides know that a transcript is probably going to emerge from both sides, that's a hostile environment to some degree, but it is certainly one that has a tendency to produce clarity.
Two final issues that I'd like your thoughts on. You mentioned very early on that the headline referring to this tape as leaked is probably, the word there leaked is probably questionable, given the fact that we're talking about an 18-year-old tape that's been debated before. How should that be corrected?
Well, like I said, the story actually is better than the headline. So in this case, I don't know if you issue a correction, you know, for a value judgment word. It is true that the person who brought the tape up and the contents of the tape up again is anonymous and is, on top of that, a former Southern Baptist. So I think the word leak got associated with it because this thing was reinserted into debate by someone who doesn't want to be known, et cetera. So I think that wasn't a good way to start, on top of the fact that it all unfolded, was framed, and, as I put it, set on fire on Twitter. So, you know, I don't know if you correct the headline. The story, I want to stress that the Washington Post story was very responsible under the circumstances and did a good job.
Just a curious question, given your history in journalism and as erstwhile Southern Baptist. What do you think the media's picture is of, kind of paint it for us, if you would, of a Southern Baptist?
I don't think they've ever really come to terms with the fact that there is a Southern Baptist left. They also haven't come to terms with the fact that the Southern Baptist middle contains a number of very different kinds of conservatism. Everything from Calvinism to the kind of young evangelicals to megachurch pastors to kind of the old guard in the Bible Belt. I mean, when you live in a place like Texas, the Southern Baptist Convention runs the full gamut from hard shell fundamentalists all the way to people where the congregations are basically Unitarian, and only with better preaching. That full theological spectrum can be seen in Southern Baptist life. And the more Southern Baptist a state is, the more likely you are to see radical theological diversity among its people. And I don't think that makes sense to a lot of reporters. I don't think they understand that at the gut level as well as the level of their Rolodex of names. They don't have the natural names to call to show that diversity. The other thing is, I think the Southern Baptist Convention and the revolt of 78-80 is really the beginning of the connection between the Southern Baptist Convention and Ronald Reagan, obviously, and then kind of its central role in the religious right. And that's a lot of Southern Baptists can certainly be identified with the religious right. A lot of them can't. So it really helps to have a reporter or two who speaks fluent Southern Baptist and knows kind of where some of the bodies are buried and who's a real leader in the denomination and where you go to find quality voices on these topics. And at this point, like I said, Paige Patterson, that's going to have to sort itself out. Domestic violence, we're already seeing some really good statements of clarity. And then third, what does this all have to do with divorce? That one's going to take longer to sort out. But yes, the coverage of this is being affected by how many journalists automatically think that there's like one kind of Southern Baptist, and that's that. Oh, brother, it's not that simple.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, we'll talk again next week.
Thank you very much. Glad to talk.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Two Kingdom Theology and Vocation. Lyman Stone will join us. He's author of a recent column for First Things titled Two Kingdom Theology in the Trump Era. Stay tuned.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Children are a gift from God, a rich heritage, a precious trust. They are sinners, baptized saints, little brothers and sisters in Christ. It is this beautiful vision that shapes our daily work as parents and grandparents, teachers, pastors, mentors, and friends. And it's this vision you'll see shining through every article in this month's Lutheran Witness magazine, The Gift of Children. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. The Issues Etc. 300.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Kristan. These six engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholes. Learn more by clicking the Kata Kristan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.